Well, good morning. Welcome to Shepherd Drive Baptist Church. We're so glad that you're here. We're still looking forward to the time when we can meet physically once more, but until that time, we're so glad that you've been able to join us for virtual church. And can we encourage you to access virtual church from our playlist? You can access that from the homepage on our website. There's a box on the homepage. If you click on that, it will do all the hard work for you and take you through the playlist in its entirety. And let me encourage you to have a good look at our website too. From that, you'll see our aims as a church, which is to share the word of God and the love of God with the community that we serve here in Southwest Ipswich. You'll also see that we're a real mixed bag of different people from different situations and countries and backgrounds, but united by the Lord Jesus Christ and by our purpose, which is to live for him faithfully. And let me also underline that we really do mean what we say on our sign there, that everybody is welcome. So we hope you'll feel very welcome and very much at home with us. So do come and join with us now.
Well, good morning. It's my pleasure this morning to welcome you to our virtual church service. My name is Gary and I'll be leading you through the first part of the service. This morning we'll be having songs, which if you're watching via our playlist will automatically intercede in the service. We'll pray to God. Sherry will bring us a talk for the children shortly, and later Simon, one of our ministers, will bring us a message from God's Word, the Bible. Although today we're not meeting in person, we do have the opportunity to stand in front of our God, to praise and worship our God. And to worship him not only in words, but with our minds and our hearts. And that's the theme of our first song, which will be followed by Sherry giving the talk to the children. Our first song is Come. Now is the time to worship.
Hi everyone. Have you had some good days out over the summer? I hope you have. Whenever we're going for a big day out, I try, if I can manage it, to get organised and pack everything we need the night before and then put it by the front door so in the morning we are ready to go. And I need to pack my bag for tomorrow. So let's think. We have had some really lovely sunny days over the summer, haven't we? So I'm going to pack my sunnies. There we go. And sun cream. Definitely need sun cream to be safe. And water, lots of water for a day out. But this week it has been a lot more windy, hasn't it? So I'm going to pack some hair bands in case it's windy. Don't want my hair going everywhere. And I think I'm going to pack a hoodie because it might be a bit cold down. I don't want to be cold. And I think I'll pack a hot drink because I like a hot drink, especially if it's a bit chillier. This week has been really wet. It's been so much rain on some of the days, so I had better take my raincoat. My bag is getting so full, and I've only packed for me so far. Of course, I could check the weather report, but although they often get it right, they often get it wrong as well. Because even though they are experts, no one can know completely 100% what tomorrow will be like. Well, actually, there is one person who does know. Can you guess who that one person is? That's right, God. He is the only one who knows 100% what the weather will be like tomorrow. He knows what the weather will be like because he plans the weather. He is in control. He's a good God and he sends us rain and sun as one of the many ways he takes care of us, because those things let the plants grow. Every day we can pray to our good God who is in control of everything. And we can say, Lord God, we trust you with this day because you are in control and you are good. We can pray that he would help us to live for him this day, every day. We can pray that he would give us everything we need to live for him, whether the day goes to plan or not to plan. And because he's a good God, we know that he will answer our prayers. Now, it might be that you need to pack a bag for a day out this week, but I'm guessing many of you will have to pack a little bit of a different bag. You might need to pack your school bag, yeah, or your pack lunch, or your PE kit, because for many it is back to school this week. I don't know how you feel about going back to school. Perhaps you're really excited. Perhaps you're a bit nervous. Perhaps it's not school that you're worried about, but something completely different that's coming up in the future. We know that God is good and that he is in control. So whatever is worrying us about what's coming up, maybe this week or in the coming months or the coming years even, we can trust him. We can pray to him and ask him for help and know that he is a good God who is in control. So next time the weather report, the weather forecast is completely wrong, remember, it wasn't a surprise to God, because God always knows what's happening, because God is in control of everything.
Well, thanks, Sherry, so much for that. Let me give you some notices for this week. On both Tuesday and Wednesday evenings, we have our virtual Digging Deeper groups via Zoom, and the invitations for those will be emailed out to you shortly. Next Sunday morning, we'll have another virtual church service. I just want to share with you Psalm 122, verse 1, which starts, "I was glad when they said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord.'" Well, for the first time in several months, that's going to be possible next Sunday afternoon at 4:30, when we have a communion service here in the church. Obviously, there's been a lot of work behind the scenes, getting ready to come back to real physical church services again. There's a video on our YouTube channel for, entitled Thursday Thoughts, in which Simon goes through some of these requirements that we need to host this service. If you'd like to come, we're asking people to book. That could be an email to services@sdbc.org.uk. The contact form on our website, again, www.sdbc.org.uk, or on the phone on the number below me here. We're going to take some time to pray for needs now, and our prayer focus this week is the Oasis English Language School and also a good friend of the church, Linda Pepper. Let's bring our prayers to the Lord now. Lord, we have just sung that amazing song, "Come, now is the time to worship." And Lord, may that be true of each and every one of us. May we come with broken, repentant hearts. May we come with open, receptive minds. Lord, as today we conclude our series for the moment in the book of Proverbs, we pray, Lord, for real wisdom, for true wisdom. We pray for wisdom as we look to come back and hold church services here in the building, Lord. We pray for safety. We pray that you would guide us as we seek to meet together again in person. Lord, we ask for wisdom as the schools go back, both this week and next. We think of some of those children who haven't been to school for 6 months. We think of the perhaps anxiety and trepidation of the parents as they send their children. We think of the teachers and the head teachers with the responsibility of receiving those children in the current circumstance. We think of those going to a new school for the first time. Lord, may all seek your wisdom at this time, in that situation. Lord, we do pray for the Oasis Language School. We're saddened by the news that, due to the current restrictions, they can't meet at the moment. Lord, we don't know whether this will be for an academic term, an academic year, or perhaps further. Lord, again, we ask for true wisdom for the trustees of the organisation. We thank you, Lord, for it. We thank you for its ethos to teach English to those who English isn't a first language, but with the wish to share the gospel. Lord, please may you show them clearly and supportively how they can carry on with that aim, Lord, and keep everybody safe with this disease. Lord, we are excited that Linda Pepper, who was at Oasis, is now a full-time chaplain at Suffolk New College and Suffolk College. Lord, we're excited by that. We're excited that someone with such an evangelical heart, someone who you've gifted with so much energy, is in that position. Lord, we pray for her, and Lord, we pray more for those young people who will encounter Linda, who will be challenged by what Linda has to say. Lord, we pray there's a revival down the road at that college, that young people who may be seeking identity, seek the true identity of the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who need support in their courses know the support and love of a Creator Father who cares for each and every one of them. Lord, we pray for families that have been deeply affected by COVID-19. We pray especially for those who have lost relatives to the disease. Lord, if they don't know you, may in their angst, may in their turmoil, may in their mourning, they come to know you. That it's not the disease that controls, it's you that controls the world, Lord. So be with us now, Lord, as we continue to worship by singing again, and then by learning from your word. May we all enjoy true God-given worship by following the perfect example of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's whose name we pray him. Amen. We're going to have one more song now before Simon concludes our series for the moment on Proverbs. And that's "The Lord's My Shepherd." And this is the new version with the additional chorus, so you're not caught out. It's "The Lord's My Shepherd. I will trust in you alone."
Well, thank you, Gary. We're going to turn now and look at God's word together. We're going to continue our series for one last time in the book of Proverbs, but we're going to look at the sections of Proverbs through the lens of James chapter 3 in the New Testament, which we're going to read now. So let me ask you to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 3, and let's turn and hear the word of God now. "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly. Indeed, we all make many mistakes, for if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches. But a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself. People can tame all kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and fish, but no one can tame the tongue. It is restless and evil, full of deadly poison. Sometimes it praises our Lord and Father, and sometimes it curses those who've been made in the image of God. And so blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. Surely, my brothers and sisters, this is not right. Does a spring of water bubble out with both fresh water and bitter water? Does a fig tree produce olives or a grapevine produce figs? No. And you can't draw fresh water from a salty spring. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. Well, let's keep those words open before us and keep a thumb in Proverbs at the same time. And let's come now to prayer and ask God to help us understand his word. Our great Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a God who speaks through his word. And our prayer is that as we look at your word this morning, that you would speak into our hearts and our lives. And that, Father, that you'd give us hearts which are receptive to what you have to say to us, even if that is difficult to hear. And may we be people who listen intently to what you say and who commit to making the changes that you call us to make, so that increasingly we become the people that you call us to be. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the last few days have been a week that Harry Maguire would probably like to erase and forget. The Manchester United captain was convicted by a Greek court of a range of offences, including bodily harm and attempted bribery after being arrested on holiday in Mykonos. It's an incident that has damaged his reputation, and interestingly, the negative reports that have dominated the newspapers and the gossip columns have focused on his words as much as his actions. The words that he allegedly used as he was being arrested, words which have been played back again and again in the press, on Sky News, and on the internet. It is very difficult, isn't it, when you're in the public eye, where so much of what you do and say is captured and reported. Doesn't it make you glad that you're not famous? Can you imagine what it would be like if some of our poorly chosen words were reported, even this week? The many times when we've reacted badly in the heat of the moment and said the wrong thing, or even worse, said something calculatedly, consciously, deliberately, to bring a person down a peg or two, or to hurt their feelings. Imagine if those occasions were splashed over the internet, published in news reports, whether that's something we've said verbally or something in the arena of social media, something that we've said in an email or a text or on Facebook. I guess for many of us, there'd be lots of examples and instances to choose from, lots of foot-in-mouth moments that could be reported, many occasions where we've been unwise with our words and where, looking back, we're actually embarrassed and ashamed of what we've said. Well, as we take this final look into Proverbs this year and move into some of the more practical, nitty-gritty wisdom that it encourages us to take on board, we're going to listen to wisdom that we probably all need to hear, wisdom for our words. In fact, if you've made your own way through the book of Proverbs, taking a chapter a day during August, you'll have noticed that it has a lot to say about words and how we use them. It's a subject that comes up again and again, and it speaks very bluntly into the things that we say, and it plays out their effect. And this morning, I want us together to touch down at various points in Proverbs and pick out some of the core wisdom and key warnings that it brings. Wisdom and warnings, which have been very much aimed at my own heart and my own mouth this week as I prepared for this morning, and some of which at times is difficult to hear and difficult to accept. But it is good medicine. It's good medicine for us to swallow, to take into our lives, and also to learn from. And one of the first things that Proverbs shows us is the power of our words. Most of us probably grew up with the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And although when it was said to us, it was possibly well meant by our parents or our friends, we soon found out that it wasn't true. In Proverbs chapter 18, we see a different perspective. We read, "The human spirit can endure a sick body, but who can bear a crushed spirit?" And we know the reality of that. You and I have probably forgotten most of the bumps, bruises, and injuries we experienced when we were younger, in arguments at school or in our teenage years, that turned into scraps and fights. But words have a different power. Words have an ability to stay with us, whether good or bad. Although so often, it is the negative words we remember most, isn't it? Words can penetrate our defences in a unique way. In fact, there are some words that hit us so hard that they are, as it were, written into the hard disk of our hearts. They're there permanently and they stay there. The memory of a cruel criticism or a passing remark that made us feel very small. A sentence from a teacher or a work colleague that damaged our self-esteem. A comment from a friend made us realise that we weren't as important to them as we once thought that we were. Proverbs 11 verse 9 underlines the reality of that when it highlights, with their words, the godless destroy their friends. In fact, some cruel comments or criticisms can shape the rest of a person's life from the moment they hear them, leading them to desperately search for acceptance, to be plagued by insecurity, an insecurity that leads them to make damaging choices and changes to their life and personality as they chase after popularity and approval. And we know that particular situations and circumstances can bring these word memories back to the surface very quickly, leading us to feel the hurt and the pain of those words all over again, like a plaster being ripped off a wound so that it bleeds once more. The power of our words can also have a deep effect on our relationships. Our whole attitude to a person, the way we think about them, can be changed by a single comment that they make, a comment about us, about our children or our family, a throwaway remark about what other people think of us that pierces our hearts and suddenly damages our relationship with them, that brings a coldness and a distance that hasn't been there before. And of course, it isn't just what people have said to us. Sometimes in the deep recesses of our hearts and minds, there are things that we've said to other people that still haunt us. Words we've spoken that we know have hurt people and left a scar, but which have also left a scar on us, a guilt that we carry around. And like in Christopher Nolan's new film Tenet, we wish we could reverse time and go back and change what happened. Words have power too, because they not only penetrate, they also spread, and they can move very, very quickly. It doesn't take long, does it, for a harmful gossip or a negative comment or criticism behind someone's back to move very quickly through the grapevine, so that a person's reputation is tarnished, perhaps even ruined. And there are individuals who seem to delight in it. Proverbs chapter 16 puts the spotlight on them and their negative impact. It says, "Scoundrels create trouble. Their words are a destructive blaze. A troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends." It shows that their words are like a spark that creates a bushfire, like the ones that we see that often sweep through areas of California or Australia with frightening speed, causing devastation, which is the image that is also used in James chapter 3, where we read, "A tiny spark can set a great forest on fire, and among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire." Proverbs shows us that our words can have a similar impact on other people's lives and relationships and families. And we can all probably think of examples where a rumor or a damaging whisper behind someone's hand has had that effect, damaging relationships, perhaps even breaking them. All those realities underline just how very careful we should be with our words. But of course, the power of words isn't just negative. In Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, we read, "The tongue can bring death or life." To put it another way, words can be destructive. They can crush people and knock them down. Or they can be constructive. They can lift people up and restore them. And again, we can probably think back to times when we've been lifted by someone's words, a time when perhaps we were discouraged and down, when we felt crushed by a particular situation or failure. But then a parent or a partner or a good friend has come along with a kind, encouraging word, a word that has lovingly lifted us up, restored us, and reassured us, revived us and made us suddenly see that that situational failure needs to be looked at with a different perspective. And it's given us with the strength we need to recover. Or perhaps a time where we've been nervous or anxious about something, and a friend's loving encouragement has made all the difference, given us what we need to go forward. A word at the right time that has brought help and emotional healing at a time when we needed it most. And Proverbs touches on these positive impacts in a number of verses. In Proverbs chapter 12, we read, "Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing. Worry weighs a person down, an encouraging word cheers a person up." Then Proverbs 27, "The heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense." And Proverbs 16, "Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body." Although Proverbs does warn us about making sure that we share our kind words and greetings at the right time, in Proverbs 27 we read, "A loud and cheerful greeting early in the morning will be taken as a curse," which is a verse I've quoted to my wife a number of times this week as she's greeted me joyfully at 6:30 a.m. when she's got up. But do you see how Proverbs is always encouraging us to look at cause and effect, to consider consequences, to see not only the power of our words, but also the product of our words, negative and positive. How it encourages us to look, as it were, at the domino effect of what we say, to see the start point of what we say, and then to look further ahead and see the knock-on effect. And to think through, will my words build up or knock down? Will they be helpful or unhelpful? And linked to that, Proverbs encourages us to build in a pause before our words. So often we have a tendency to speak first and think later, don't we? And often there are times that we then look back and regret doing that. Because looking back, we see that we've said something in a wrong way or simply said something at the wrong time. And so Proverbs encourages us to adopt a traffic light approach. Before going green and speaking, that we stop, think, and pause before our mouths open and we go and share what's on our mind. And very clearly, this is a big need for human beings because it's something that crops up again and again in Proverbs as repeated wisdom. Proverbs 13 says, "Those who control their tongue will have a long life. Opening your mouth can ruin everything. Wise people think before they act. Fools don't. And even brag about their foolishness." Proverbs 14, "The prudent carefully consider their steps." And then Proverbs 21, "Watch your tongue and you will stay out of trouble." And how many verbal car crashes would be avoided if we followed that wisdom, if we stopped at those traffic lights and asked ourselves, is this a wise thing to say? And so you see, God's word encourages us to be considered people. People who press the pause button before the play button and ask themselves questions like, is this something I need to say? Is this something I need to say now? Am I in an emotional state to express this in a right and helpful way? Or is the outcome likely to be better if I calm down, take perhaps 24 hours to reflect and then speak? Calls us to see the wisdom in Proverbs 15 verse 1, which says, "A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make tempers flare." And then there are other questions, such as, how can I express this in the right way to get the right outcome? And linked to that, especially in the 21st century, the question of, am I communicating this using the most helpful method and medium? So that if I ever have anything difficult to say or difficult for a person to hear, my aim is always to say that face to face rather than by text or email, which can be so damaging and which can be so misunderstood, which can come across in a way that we never intended because the person receiving it can't see all the non-verbal communication behind what is being said, which often makes such a huge difference. And can I suggest an internal rule of never saying anything difficult via Facebook? and avoiding getting involved in other people's arguments on social media, which can snowball so very quickly and suddenly escalate, moving from a few people to a lot of people. And instead, to listen to the wisdom of Proverbs chapter 26, which says, interfering in someone else's argument is as foolish as yanking a dog's ears. Sometimes there are occasions where we need to talk through spiritual issues with each other. And at times those conversations can be difficult, particularly when it involves a Christian brother or sister moving in a wrong direction, taking a path that will clearly damage their spiritual life. You see, as a church family, we have a loving responsibility of spiritual care towards each other. We're called to practice spiritual safeguarding, so that when we see one of our family members moving away from where they should be, following a damaging desire or allowing another priority to relegate Jesus in their hearts, we have a spiritual duty of care to show that that's wrong, to show them the wrong direction that they're moving in and to draw them back to where they should be. But of course, that must be done in the right way. And if we think we're called to speak into a situation like that, the important question we need to ask is my motivation for saying this a motivation of love for the person I'm speaking to? Is it an expression of my genuine care for their spiritual well-being? You may have seen the news story this week of a 4-year-old girl on a Spanish holiday with her family who was floating on her inflatable unicorn in the sea, but who floated too far, got caught in a current and was swept out to sea and into danger. And very thankfully, her unicorn stayed inflated and she stayed on the unicorn. And a lifeboat was able to see her in the distance and go to her to rescue her, to come alongside very gently and lift her out of danger and bring her back to where she should be. And do you see that spiritually that is what we are called to do for each other? It can be very easy to gradually drift from where we should be as followers of Jesus and to drift into danger. And our responsibility to one another is that if we see a Christian brother or sister moving in a wrong direction, drifting away from spiritual health and safety, that we come alongside and encourage them to come back to where they should be. That in love, we speak into that situation to pull them out of a current which will take them away from Jesus. Proverbs chapter 9 expresses that care like this. But correct the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous and they will learn even more. And who are the wise there? Well, they are those who are seeking to live God's way. To bring that into a New Testament context, they are those who are following Jesus. And we need to safeguard each other in this way, recognizing that there will be times when we will need to be brought back on track. And that when a fellow Christian comes alongside and speaks into our situation, that we are to welcome it, to see it not as cold criticism, to see it as loving wisdom. And when all that happens as it should across the church family, what happens is that we grow together in faith. We keep more in step with the Holy Spirit. We follow Jesus together more closely. And our faith matures and becomes sharper. And it is that type of friendship and companionship that is in view in Proverbs chapter 27, where we read, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. And we don't wait for someone to go off track to guide and to grow them in faith. We don't just act reactively. We also act proactively, which means that every local church is to have a commitment to nurture the believers in their care, to encourage them, to help them to stay close to Jesus and to walk in his ways. I recently came across a phrase I'd never heard before. It was, every day is a school day. In other words, every day is a day of learning and receiving. And do you see, that is to be true for us in a spiritual sense too, as we seek to build each other up in our faith. And so often that happens through our words, which is why Paul gives the believers in Ephesus this great goal. He says, let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. That is great wisdom for our words, isn't it? And we need to keep that wisdom before us, perhaps to stick it on our fridges, our internal doors, our PCs and our tablets, allowing its wisdom to speak inwardly into our hearts so that increasingly it is reflected as we speak outwardly to others through our mouths. So the power of our words, the product of our words, the pause before our words, and finally, the person behind our words. Now and again, I've heard people describe with a phrase that isn't actually that complimentary. It goes something like this: well, their heart's in the right place, it's their mouth that isn't. But sadly, their words don't reflect what's in their heart. Their words tell a different story. Of course, if we are truly God's people following God's wisdom, if we're genuinely following Jesus and our hearts belong to him, then that should be clearly reflected in the way that we speak and the words that we use. The change of heart that God has brought about in us internally should be echoed by the words that come out from us externally. To use a water analogy, whatever is going on at source, upstream in our hearts, will always trickle down naturally into our lives and into our words. It's what Jesus underlines in Luke chapter 6 when he says, "A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart." So that the phrase, "their heart's in the right place, it's their mouth that isn't," should never be used about a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if it is, it points to a problem at source, in our hearts. That somehow we've lost the love for Jesus that we once had in our heart. That it is as though the arteries into our heart have become blocked so that the love and wisdom of Jesus isn't flowing and transforming us the way it should be. So when it comes to our words and the way we speak, to our work colleagues, to our circle of friends, to our husbands or wives, and especially to our children, the challenge is, what story do my words tell? Do they tell a story of a heart that's been transformed by Jesus, or do they reveal a blockage? You see, the bottom line here is that if our hearts belong to Jesus, then our mouths must belong to Jesus too. And we need to pray. To pray that our hearts and our mouths will be in the right place, that they will move in sync, so that our words point very clearly and faithfully to Jesus, to the person who lies behind our words. To do that, of course, our words need to accurately reflect his character. They need to imitate his compassion, his gentleness, his love, his genuine concern for people. And of course, our words must also reflect his honesty, his perfect honesty, his integrity, which means that we must be people who tell the truth, who tell the truth in every area of our lives, at home, in the workplace, on our tax returns, on our expenses claims. It means that we are people who aren't economical with the truth. We don't spin it, we don't exaggerate it, and we don't lie, which is an area that Proverbs speaks loudly and sometimes very bluntly into again and again. Let me give you a couple of examples. Proverbs 12, verse 22. "The Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth." Proverbs 25, "Telling lies about others is as harmful as hitting them with an axe, wounding them with a sword, or shooting them with a sharp arrow." And as we think all of this through, perhaps we need to ask ourselves, what do my words say about me? Well, if we are followers of Jesus, let's prayerfully make some practical commitments about our words. That we make a commitment at the beginning of each day to pray, "Lord, let my words today reflect you and your wisdom." The wisdom that we see in Proverbs, the wisdom that, of course, we see in the perfect man's words, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. that we make a commitment to remember the power of our words and commit to using that power for good, to build people up instead of knocking them down, to encourage, and perhaps to choose three people to encourage in some way in September. Thirdly, to remember what our words produce and commit ourselves to pressing the pause button more before speaking. And that if there are those that we have hurt with our words in the past, to go to them and to apologize to them, to ask for their forgiveness with the aim of repairing and restoring friendships that have been broken. And finally, if we have been hurt by words said to us and that those words still hurt, possibly because those who've said them will never apologize, never seek our forgiveness. And let me encourage you to bring those words and their wounds to Jesus. Come to the one whose words will only ever speak what is good and right and helpful into our lives. The one whose words will always be loving and true. The one who speaks in grace to restore and lift up. And ask him to bring his healing into our hurts and to flood our hearts with his love. Praying too that the love that flows into our hearts from him will flow out of us in worship to him. Well, let's take a few moments of quiet individual prayer just to reflect on God's word to us this morning and think through its implications prayerfully as individuals. Let's take a few moments to do that now. Great Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, which speaks into the deep parts of who we are, into our inner being. Father, some of this is difficult to hear and to take on board, and so, Father, we come to you for help. We ask that, Father, you would work in our hearts and also our lips, so that we may be people who truly reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do. And where there are things to remove from our hearts, things that we need to stop saying, ways in which we need to stop saying things, then, Father, would you help us to do that so that we honour you in our hearts and our lives and our words too. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, we're going to close by singing a great hymn, Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God. And let me draw your attention to verse 2, which is a prayer for each one of us, which says, Holy Spirit, come abide within. May your joy be seen in all I do. Love enough to cover every sin. In each thought and deed and attitude, kindness to the greatest and the least. Gentleness that sows the path of peace. Turn my striving into works of grace. Breath of God, show Christ in all I do.